Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, a beautiful morning here. The early morning energy coming through.
We do. Early morning energy. That was not it. I'm going to work on that for next time.
I have to say, I want to thank you again. You get up so early on your time. It's 7 a.m. for you. I get to ease into my day, 10 a.m. over here in beautiful Miami.
You get to have like a workout, probably like wake up properly, get some coffee.
5 a.m. wake up, take my daughter to school by 7:15, okay. My son at 8:15, get to the office, go through the notes, get prepared to talk to you, and then I'm good.
And then you're good. Yeah. No. This is, so, I mean, 7 a.m. is not super early. I used to have to start sometimes my shifts at this time, but.
Yeah. Hotel life. We're used to it. We got some people already joining us, right? I know that Chris and Christopher, they're getting up early to join us, so.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, let us know where you're joining us from. I'm back in the home office. Last week was in Tahoe at this time, doing 25 TV interviews. Let me tell you, if you have ever done 25 TV interviews within a span of 3.5 hours.
Are you saying the same thing over and over and over again?
Generally. Yeah. I mean, give or take. And then you can't really see who's interviewing you, and you're just going by the voice, and you've got a little earpiece in your ear. You're looking down the barrel of a camera. Sometimes you have to switch to another camera. You have to pay attention to where they're like, okay, look here. And and then keep it fun and interesting and exciting. Like, they're asking you the question for the first time.
I like it. See, that's the energy you bring all the time, even to us here.
Does it? Well, like, every day is a new day.
Look at Lou saying he gets up at 3:30 a.m. for a workout and then starts a regular day at about 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. I'm retired too. So yes, probably crazy. Lou, if it feels good for you, it's not crazy.
And yeah. Oh, Dallas. Man
Chris from Dallas, Rob from Austin.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Steven from
6 a.m.
beautiful Chicago.
Steve,
it's cold
Claire.
There, Steven.
Good morning.
Oh, Bay Area. Everyone's coming through. I love it.
This is great. I know we got some fellow West Coasters over here up early. Thank you. It's not that early.
Thanks for hanging out with us. And we got a great show today with a lot of topics we need your feedback on. And Chris from San Diego.
Chris, you're up from San Diego. Are you in the water, Chris? Are you like on a surfboard?
Does that Ricardo, my man from Miami. Good to see you, Ricardo. We bring the Latin vibes in here.
Oh, great. We got all of that. Wow. You got super excited. I feel like you should be putting on some music to that comment. You're like, we got some Latin.
I need my Mr. 305 Pitbull this morning. That's the early morning energy I need right now.
Stop. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey. We are having way too much fun. If you are not having this much fun in your place of employment, you got
a new one.
Yeah, find a new one.
There's places out there that do this all the time. Chris is out there putting on the water.
By the way, for the record, this is exactly how I would be when I was working at a hotel. So I was definitely, we would always like try to have fun. I mean, obviously be professional, get your stuff done, you know, be appropriate with the guests for sure. But behind the scenes, just having fun because
you're there all the time.
Totally. You're there all the time. You're working crazy hours. Some people are, next thing you know, somebody called out. They're working 14 hours, this, that. If you are not having a little bit of fun and teasing each other, then you know. Oh, Jeremy. Good
in the house. Good to see you, man.
Good afternoon, Jeremy. Good afternoon.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, I know. Well.
He was on the Monday show. I got a little jealous, Jeremy.
That's because he was like, I have a feeling Sarah's not going to be live. And he's like, no. So, but we are live.
Yes, we're live today. Kat, good to see you from London. Buzzing after the Global Revenue Forum yesterday. For sure. A lot of action over there.
Oh, that must have been great. Very cool. Well, I'm sorry that my caffeine has just kicked in.
Oh, let's bring it. Let's bring the energy. We got some great topics today.
We do have good topics today. Are you ready to dive into it?
I think we should.
Yeah. Okay. You're like, yeah. I think we should. I think that's what we're here for. This is what you came for. Okay. So this is interesting in the world of hotels. Marriott versus Hilton, what their pipelines are looking like. And this was pretty interesting to see as far as how many rooms they have in development. Marriott has more rooms in development. Mm-hmm. But you know, Hilton is having a little bit of a different spin on things because they've just recently launched Spark, and that's had a huge that was getting a lot of attention at the recent Alice conference that was happening right here in Los Angeles. By the way, did you know anybody that went to Alice?
I do. I know a couple people that were there, and they were telling me some great things about it. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see what comes of it, but. The room counts are crazy. Like, yeah, it seems like Marriott's ahead. They are, but they have 573,000 rooms in development. And Hilton has 462,000 rooms. Mm-hmm. And they're both pushing. If they get those built up, they're going to grow by 30%, which is nuts to me. 36% for Marriott, 39% for Hilton. Really growing. And it's all different kind of things. But they both see luxury being really important. But the extended stay brands are starting to really make a push. Well, you mentioned the one for Hilton and then StudioRes for Marriott. And the other interesting thing Marriott announced is their Apartments by Marriott Bonvoy. And so that's coming into the world of, you know, luxury apartments staffed by hotels, which, look, is that great news for vacation rentals? You know, if you're unique, probably you're okay. But if you're in an urban city, that's going to be tough. But I love seeing it.
Yeah.
I love seeing that they're doing it because more and more hotels will follow.
And by the way, what's interesting about the markets that they happen to be launching these apartments in, it is international. So you've got everywhere from Detroit, St. Louis here in the States. You've got, Italy, even Saudi Arabia in the mix.
Yeah.
So
all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world, which is really interesting.
And they don't see it stopping. Like they're like, people are asking them, like, don't you have enough hotels on every major city in every major country? And they said, yes. Wait, but now there's even more for them to grow into.
Totally. Well, let's talk about just even that apartment concept to begin with. Mm-hmm. If you could live in an apartment where you had, in essence, all the amenities that you would kind of have staying in a hotel, be it housekeeping, this, that, whatever, doorman, I mean, I'd twist my arm, you know? Yeah. Like
there's companies that popped up to fill that need.
Yeah.
Some of them are our friends, so I don't want to wish them any bad luck, but they have to step up their game if hotels are getting into this world.
Yeah.
You know, because we have our vacation rental company, we have our eyes on this, is you got to step up. Competition's increasing, and you got the Marriott engine coming into that world. If you haven't seen it, take a look at this. The Marriott Apartments by Bonvoy, and they're going to be in Detroit and St. Louis to start, but they're beautiful. If it actually looks that way, it's going to be very nice.
Yes.
But just think about 573,000 rooms being developed. And all the standards and all the things you have to do to make sure your brand still is strong enough to maintain through all of those places.
I mean, it's crazy, but I mean, it can be done. And also the same for Hilton as well too. I mean, that just shows you the demand.
I see you've got some comments coming through. So Kat is saying, is the apart hotel concept big in the US? Here in Europe, it's hugely growing sector. It is growing here. There was a couple of brands that really hopped into it. But it wasn't major until just recently because everyone started working remotely. And so now you can kind of be anywhere at any time and people are looking for those things. And as you travel with friends and families, if you can get a similar rate in an apartment, you may book that over a suite at a hotel.
Yeah.
Right.
Fascinating.
And Christopher gave us a comment here saying, as long as Marriott and Hilton keep popping out these boring gray boxes with unimaginative marketing, like they've been at Taco Bell for a week, I think there's still a lot of space in the industry for those who truly care about providing guest experience. Christopher, tell us how you really feel. I agree that some of these are a little boring concepts with their entry level get people into their other brands. But I've been in a couple where you're like, you wouldn't know what the brand is. You're just there and they all kind of look similar.
This is true, but there are also a lot that are unique, and that is why I'm playing devil's advocate. That I do actually feel that a lot of these bigger brands are leaning more into their boutique style brands under their bigger umbrella. So
But there's some entry level ones that you're like, it's a little rough in here. Maybe it just needs to be updated because they're a little older. I have stayed in some new places that are really cool. I was like, all right, this is nice. I may not stay again, but it was a nice stay. And I can see why they've made this and who might stay there.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I just stayed at a Moxie in New York City and I chose it because I was like, oh, I've stayed at Moxie's before. I know the brand. I know what I'm getting. I was not expecting a large room. I was not expecting a lot of frills, but like a fun vibe. And that's exactly what I got at a very reasonable price. So, you know.
Yeah, the Moxie here in Miami Beach, very colorful. You know, not my style, but I know a lot of people enjoy it and they go there and hang out. Everyone's got a style, so there's different flavors for everybody, just like Baskin Robbins got a ton of flavors. You got a lot of brands, but
I agree that
some are not my favorite flavor and probably won't ever try them.
That might have to be
let's clip that one.
Clip that one. All right, switching gears a bit here, let's talk about hotel prices and how now $1,000 a night rooms are kind of the new normal. It's not uncommon to find rooms that are starting rooms at $1,000 a night. I mean, I remember when that was you were getting a pretty mega suite once you started breaking the $1,000 mark. Mm-hmm. And now to see some of these hotels that are, I mean, and they're in bigger cities. I mean, you've got like Raffles in London, obviously Atlantis, the Royal in Dubai, Bulgari in Rome. I mean, but even Amman in New York, Carlisle, all
hotels
of these
across Miami Beach are like this. It's
totally
amazing to see this because you're right. When you're working at Peninsula, I was a Mandarin Oriental, 5-star, 5-diamond. You start looking at it and you're like, all right, $1,000. This is an ultra VIP. We're going to make sure we take great care of them. Everyone's a VIP, by the way, but you would have a mark. You'd be like, all right,
everyone's a VIP.
Behind the scenes that line
some
up.
Some are more VIP than others.
Yeah. Yes. Behind the scenes that line up. Oh, Mrs. Dan, is she coming? $1,000 nights. Let's make sure she's taken care of. But now that rate is there a lot. And we're seeing it because of inflation in a lot of areas. Labor costs is more. Food costs is more. Supply costs is more. And hotels have to cover that. And so, of course, the rate's going up. Just like, I don't know if you're big into fashion, Sarah. We haven't got into this. But if a Chanel bag's going up in price, people still buy that Chanel bag. So if they're going to stay at the St. Regis, they're still going to pay up and have that, right?
Yeah. But
how do you see the service going with those? Is service going to maintain?
Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, we've talked about this many times before, is that people are paying more. And then interesting, CoStar actually came out with data saying that despite these higher room rates, occupancy has actually increased. So reaching, 67.3% in 2023, which is up 64.5% in 2022. So these are still lower than 2019, but like we're up. People are just, they're paying money. They're paying this money. And we just have to be honest with ourselves and do a sort of audit, are we providing the value for that price? People are paying for it, but like, we want them to be happy and we want them to come back. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a really tricky time. We were not doing that before. People are kind of getting a little bit better as they've hired, staffing is like sort of, evening out, but you know, you are still a product at the end of the day.
And what I'm seeing a lot with hotels, and if you're listening and this is happening at your hotel, the focus is not on just guest service scores, but also the guest value score, like how they feel as a value to this property. Am I getting a value for what I'm paying for? So if I am paying $1,000 a night to stay here, am I getting great food? Is it great attention? Is it a great experience that I'm going to take a photo with my family and keep that on the mantle of a great vacation I had?
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm seeing a lot in my area that people are focusing on, is really that value score, because prices are going up. I don't see them coming back down, because once they're up, it's tough to go unless more inventory comes, and Marriott and Hilton are building them, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep breaking in to that range of price.
Well, I mean, again, I love that you talk about this value aspect, because it's like, people will spend the money, but they want to feel good spending the money. They don't want to feel like, well, that was not worth it. So be worth it.
Ooh, another clip.
Mic drop right there. There you
quote
go.
It.
Mic drop. That's my early morning energy talking right there. Yeah,
but talking about big room rates, what's coming up? There's a big event coming up.
A huge event, the Super Bowl. Are you a Super Bowl guy?
I like watching the Super Bowl. I like seeing a good game.
I like watching the Super Bowl. That was very committed.
It's not my teams. If it was Miami Dolphins, I'd be pumped up and excited.
Then you'd be like all over it. Yeah. So Super Bowl coming up in a couple weeks here. It's going to be in Las Vegas. It's driving what should be the most expensive hotel rates in game history, obviously in the market that they're going to be at. So in Las Vegas, hotel rooms are forecasted to be about $573 a night between February 9th and February 11th. Miami previously had set the record. So woo, go Miami in 2020 at $559 a night. So
And I was that's crazy. I was working at one of the headquarter hotels, and it was not $559. It was above $1,000.
Whoa. I mean, we're talking about average.
I know. I was excited. I was at that event. It was a great time.
Yeah.
I loved having it, but I'm excited for Las Vegas to see what they do with it, because they are a city of big events. They just had F1 there. Mm-hmm. And I had friends that went and said it was incredible.
I feel like half of the United States went.
Yeah, everyone seemed to have been there. Yeah. And now we talked about it a couple episodes ago. The new Fontainebleau Hotel is open there, right? And
totally.
So they added some new life to that area of the Strip. So I'm excited to see
Kate. By the way, Kate chiming in here from Santa Monica saying that the Vegas Super Bowl will be wild. I got to do a shout out to her. I just met up with her last night. She's got a new book. Oh, I don't have it right next to me. It's in my thing downstairs. Inhospitable. We'll talk about it another time, but definitely we'll have to check it out.
Kate, I need a copy, Kate. I'm going to get one. I'll get one online.
Yeah.
Inhospitable plug. Thanks for watching. Woo! So
thank you.
Super Bowl. If you're watching, let us know here with a thumbs up. If you're going to be there, tell us. We'd love to see what you think of it. I'd love to get your feedback on what that city is like during their first ever Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, so there was some pushback with F1 from the locals, obviously. I mean, you are creating a racetrack in the middle of the city, of the Strip.
Yep.
So it was definitely inconvenient for a lot of locals. And so, you know, they are in the, oh, there you go. You got it, Steve. What they're, you know, now, I mean, they're still in the process of taking things down from F1. But I'm sure locals are a little bit like, okay, what is this going to look like? But at the same time, you also live in Las Vegas. So people are going to come. The city's going to host events. It's going to be a temporary barrage of individuals. Hopefully everybody makes that money.
Yep.
And then it simmers down, right?
And most people in that city live off of the hospitality industry. So you want events. You want these mega events in your city. And I know, because we deal with it in Miami Beach here too. Similar thing. Mm-hmm. That balance, like, you don't want it to be an all-out craziness on the streets, but you got to have these big events to, you know, keep a world-class city and keep our industries going.
Yeah. I mean, even in Los Angeles, you know, we're going to have the Olympics. It's part of it, but
we got World Cup coming too. So, I see Lola said, yes, it was crazy. I was there for a travel function. Well, Lola, I'm happy to see that you had a good time then. Hopefully you were enjoying the festivities too.
Make those memories.
That's right.
Make those memories. Anyway, all of that exciting stuff. Let's talk about travel, the travel industry and some trends. So it was interesting. I was going through this article that you actually had shared with me. Oh, good morning, Lonnie. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, Lonnie? Good to see you.
We got a lot of South Florida in the house.
Yeah,
people
in
other areas, we need to like step it up. Come on.
They're working too hard on the other cities. We got to keep Miami and South Florida going.
Exactly.
But travel topic. Yeah. This article is cool.
Very cool. And I love that you shared it with me. It's something that I use. And I realized I don't think that we had talked too much about them on this particular show. We kind of touched on some others. I talked about it a lot in my TV segments, but I like these trends. So there are so many of them. I don't know that we'll be able to talk about all of them, but astrotourism, a big one that not only, I mean, we're going to be having some eclipses this year that people are going to be traveling for, but then we're also seeing different hotel brands, even, depending on where they're located, get igloos, for example, where people are able to stay in an igloo or like a clear glass igloo, I should say, where they can watch the stars at night. So it's so cool that we've got these options that people are really tapping into that.
We got astrotourism is one that you talked about, which I don't know if I'm going to be chasing any of the stars for a trip, but
okay.
Diving, eco-diving. So a rise in divers, people are exploring the oceans and the seas, which I live in Miami. I've only snorkeled. I got to get into scuba diving here. I've always been a little bit nervous about getting that deep with my
home
oxygen.
Swapping. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Home swapping.
Home
train stations. This is a big one that I like. I want to see more of this is the train stations being elevated. So you're saying train stations are the new food destinations with food halls and different offerings. The one here in Miami Brightline created a food hall. I think they're waiting on a little bit more volume to come through to open the doors on it because they opened and then closed it, but it looked awesome. Sports tourism, we just talked about.
Olympics, right? So, Tour de France, Formula One, all of the
big
above.
Things. World Cup is coming now.
This one.
Tell me the next one.
Coolcationing. And why I have to talk, I talked about coolcationing significantly last week. And that's basically people are opting to travel to cooler destinations, whether it's really leaning into winter or, you know, even in the summertime, opting not to necessarily do beach destinations, but hey, I'm going to go to cooler destinations, be that Iceland, be people are also opting Antarctica, obviously comes with the territory. So it is cool to see. Cool.
I
to
just
see.
Did that. Look, my family, we didn't want to be freezing during New Year's.
That's true.
We wanted to have a different season and we wanted to be cold and experience that coming from Miami. We went to DC and it was a lot of fun. I wouldn't have gone there if it was a warm place.
This is true. So
maybe I'm part of that coolcationing.
Yeah, I think you are part. You were leading that trend. Trendsetter over here. Gig tripping. So basically, you know, a lot of people that are traveling for destination concerts, music festivals. We've seen this in the past, but people obviously really Taylor Swift leading the charge with that. Everybody traveling for a little Tay-Tay, as they like to say.
We say Lou's going on a trip here. They're doing Viking Iceland, Greenland.
Oh,
Canada
very
cruise.
Cool.
That's a cool vacation. And how about the biohack? Are you ever biohacking? Because I see the resorts that will help you biohack your health span. So getting IVs and treatments.
I'm super into health stuff. So I don't always talk about it, but I'm into all of that. Like I will do cold plunges. I will do try different vitamins. I've definitely had vitamin B12 shots. I'm also a vegetarian. So I've played with all of that.
When I worked with the Los Miami Beach Hotel, across the street was a place to get your IV drip. So I would get a little worn down. I just pop over across the street, plug in, head back over.
Plug in to keep on going. I like this. People are also really double downing on shoulder season. They should have been all along, but people are really becoming just now as people don't necessarily have their maybe regular 9-to-5s and they might have a little bit more flexibility without having to go into the office. They can be more flexible with their travel time. So they are exploring shoulder season as well, which I'm all for that.
I think those are great ways to do it. And we've got people letting us know where they're going. Lonnie said the Ice Hotel in Quebec is a unique experience.
Oh, yes.
Draft Manor in Kenya. I want to go
yes.
there.
Yes, Lonnie, love both of those. I have not been to either and they are on my list. I mean, although giraffes kind of like, I don't know if I need to have a giraffe each in my hand, but yeah, dude, it's weird. Oh my God, they're crazy. But
the other two thing too that was on this list was AI aims to be your sidekick. And yeah, I would challenge you all. Because I used it on my last trip and I just tested it out yesterday.
Yeah.
Wherever you're standing on your vacation, tell ChatGPT on the voice part now. Say, hey, I'm standing on Fifth and Ocean in Miami Beach. Tell me what's around me and what I'm looking at. And it will tell you all the different things around you, the history or the art or whatever you might be. It's just fun different ways to use this and to plan your trip. So I made an entire itinerary. It's accurate. I'm born and raised.
Looked
at what it was telling me and said, wow, this is very cool.
Very cool.
So I challenge you to use it.
I love it. Okay, this next trend I also talked about 25 times last week. Skip gen travel. So it's basically a skip generation travel where you've got grandparents and grandkids planning vacations and doing that, which I love because what a wonderful way to create those memories and do something different than maybe like the typical things. So the parents don't necessarily go. Yeah. Mm. Like give the parents a little, yeah. Yeah. You're like, ooh, you're like, maybe we can have our
kids. All right, grandparents, like, some calls here.
Tapping in so we can check out for a minute. My gosh. Wow. So many other
things. So many others. We'll put the link for this article because there's so many other, like urban gardens, the wild feasting and plan free travel and frontier travel. There's just so many cool things.
Back of house tours, which is I'm here for that. So all of that good stuff. Yes. Okay. We have a couple more topics here, but we want to be mindful of the time. Venice, they have officially launched their entry fee tickets. They have a portal. You can, when you know that you are going to be traveling to Venice, Italy, by the way.
Is it California?
No, they're having
whoever wants to come in.
Too many hippies over there for them to be charging an entrance fee.
No hate from the hippies. Don't send us any emails here, okay, hippies? No,
wait, what are you talking about? Look, I'm a hippie. Anyway, we need to know. But it's fascinating. So basically, Venice is going to be charging a destination fee. And it's basically about €5 a day. So $5.45 US dollars, according to today's exchange rate. And they're basically charging them for day visits between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m.
And are people freaking out? I know that people at the beginning, when they first announced this, people were freaking out about it. But I think $5 to go visit one of the most historic cities and unique cities that's actually sinking, maybe that can help it fight climate change somehow or the flooding that's there. But I really want to go. I have not been.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to pay $5.45.
So, and to be clear, this is a pilot program. So they've been talking about this for years. They're finally doing it. And it's not every day, but it's certain days during high season, basically between April 25th and July 14th. So you basically have to like register, and mainly they're trying to target it for day trippers. But if you are staying overnight, you still have to register, and they will be checking people. They will have penalties for people that don't pay. I find it fascinating to me. I'm curious to see how they'll actually implement it. But you know what I mean? Like, how are they checking people?
I don't know. I guess there's only certain boats to get over there. So if you're getting out the docks, they get to show something or scan something. I just want to go meet the lady that I seen on TikTok who's chasing all the pickpockets.
Oh my gosh.
Seen her?
No. Who's this woman?
What? All right. No. If you're watching this live and maybe you're watching on TikTok or Instagram, the lady who chases the pickpockets out there, let me know you've seen it. I'm going to send it to Sarah because
I got
into a black hole of just watching her chase pickpockets and yell their names. The pickpocket, be careful.
Oh, oh my. I love that. Wait, hold on. Lola asked a good question. Is Europe still doing visas for American citizens? Yes, but they've pushed it off to start next year in 2025. Also not expensive. You know, here's the thing. None of these are expensive. It's not breaking the bank, but I don't know about you. I'm going somewhere. I want to pay like when I need to pay. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, on April 28th, like I'm going to be, I don't know what I'm doing this weekend, yet alone.
That's true.
So I don't know. Christopher
just said he's seen the pickpocket lady. It's great.
Oh my God.
So I'm not the only Everybody's one.
Everybody's seen
the
pickpocket lady. Goodness gracious.
And just a previous comment, because we had talked about this. It says, I'll be in Vegas next week for business, but outside of group rates you may get, rates are now $900 for a king room. Super Bowl helped this rate go up also. $900. I hope you're staying in a good hotel.
Ooh, that's crazy. All right. Real-time recap.
A lot of stuff today.
We covered a whole lot of things today, but I'm here for it, obviously. Me and my caffeine. Real-time recap. Anything amazing happened to you this week?
Amazing? Say amazing.
Or not.
I found a new little cafe and coffee shop in my neighborhood.
Cool.
Called Pinocchio on the Bay. And it's mom and pop owned. And they just treat people really nicely in there. And it's a nice change up from like the regular old Starbucks or corporate coffee place. And they treat people really nice. It has a warmth in there. And I really feel like that could be something, that vibe. I want to try and figure out how to package that vibe and put it places.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cool. I'm a huge fan of going to neighborhood coffee shops, and it just
Feels very European. Like I want more of that vibe somewhere, like the European coffee shop, like coffee and pastries in the day, transferring more into like wine and cheeses and light bites in the evening. Nice setting, candlelit, kind of glowing. Feels nice in there.
We definitely need more of that. It's interesting you say that because I was just in New York, and there was one little section of Broadway that, you know, just had like a slew of little like cafes and different places that reminded me of, like, oh, this is a little Europe. It was very cute to see. I had great service when I was, staying in New York City. Definitely have to give them a shout out. Other really cool thing was, again, last week I was at the Margaritaville in Tahoe.
How was that? I know we're gonna go over on time here, but how did you like it?
We're going over on time, but we're gonna talk about it. It was great. They did a really good job. So the particular location, you know, they took over, I think it was previously the South Lake Tahoe Resort, and and originally it was an Embassy Suite. So that's how it was built, and they've completely redone it. And what I like is that they were sort of able to keep that sort of, as they like to say, the island attitude, mountain latitude. So they could keep that sort of like island spirit, but there's also something that is very almost resorty, you know, or not resort, like mountain resort.
About it.
Yes, resorty. Lodge. I should almost say lodge is actually the word I was looking for. So it's this interesting combination where like you can have a margarita, be by a fireplace. It's right there on the California-Nevada border. Literally the driveway, you're in California and you walk on the other side and you're in Nevada. So if you are into gambling, and it's there in Heavenly Village, cute little village area, but just well done. So shout out to them for going outside of the box and creating a really fun and people were gathering like in the lobby area. It was a perfect example of this skip gen travel. You've got multi-generational travel happening. You've got little groups of, you know, families or friends, people that were playing heads up in the lobby.
Yep.
It was just this cool vibe. So seriously, shout out to them. Also, they have amazing beds. I don't think we talk about this enough, or people associate amazing beds with Margaritaville hotels and resorts, but they have phenomenal beds. So that was great. Really, really good.
I like it. So not cheesy. I was worried it was going to be cheesy island vibe in the mountains, but they nailed it. So I'm excited.
They do a really good job. I mean, I get it that, you know, from the, maybe originally you might look at it and be like, what's this going to look like? But whenever you go in, you're like, get it. Get it. So check one out the next time you're able to see one. And if you're able to go to Tahoe, definitely worth it. Okay. Let's get to our hospitality quote. You ready for it?
I'm ready. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Mahatma Gandhi.
Namaste.
I think it is. Yes. You know? Because it is. You're finding yourself, and I love this quote because it's true. The more you help others, the more you learn about yourself. And I enjoy doing that more than others. It becomes like an addiction to help people. And I love doing that.
It does. And I think that's what's so beautiful about the hospitality industry. You gain so much, you know, and if anybody, and on a serious note, if ever anybody's going through a tough time, I mean, life is life and we go through ups and downs. What I've always tried to do when I'm having a rough patch in life, I try to kind of pause and see, okay, well, what can I do and give back to others? Sometimes, you know, you're not quite there yet, but when you can, it's amazing how it makes you just feel so much better. So we are so lucky that we work in a hospital and in the industry where we're able to give to others. It's a very special thing. So remind yourself that we get to give, and that's awesome.
It's true. It's a fantastic industry to do that. A lot of people never have the chance to do that in their companies and their business.
I also feel like it just changes you as a person. I was talking with somebody the other day that was, you know, they hadn't ever really worked in the hospitality industry. And you can tell. They're like, oh, they're very like this, that, whatever. They almost lack a little bit of this warmth or this like givingness, there, this ease to them. And whenever I'm around other individuals that have worked in hospitality, they have more of that. And so, you know, I don't know. I think it adds to us as human beings.
I think everyone should work at least a one quarter in an industry where they're serving others, because you can really tell the people that 100. Have done it and have not. My kids will. I did. My wife did. Like, we can all tell the people that have.
Totally. Totally. So
anyhow, we covered a lot today.
We did. That's our show. That's crazy.
That's our show. Our longest show. 35 minutes.
Well, look at you counting.
I'm just looking at our timer go. I know our producers are saying wrap it up, but I like hanging out with you and hanging out with you all over here.
Always fun. And then next week, you're definitely going to want to tune in because I'll be joining live from Maui.
Ooh. What? Ooh. All right. I got to go find a place to go live from.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. It's fine. I'll send you a pineapple. It'll be okay. pineapple coconut cookies. So. Great show today.
Enjoy your trip. Safe travels. And as always, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Woohoo! Bye.